Together, we're going to open this morning with our scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Service is going to be just a little bit different this morning, so I need you to do something. When you stand up, I'm going to ask everybody if they would to come down toward the front, okay? So why don't everybody move up at least one row? Jimmy, would y'all move to the front? That way everybody moves. Okay, come on, everybody move up one row. That way everybody, if you're in the very back, let's get a little close this morning. And as we do our service this morning, you will understand why we're doing this. We're having a little technical difficulty this morning, so we apologize for starting just a few minutes late this morning. But let's all come together. Let's get in real close. Let's get in real close. And let's get ready to turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 25 this morning. This passage of Scripture is going to be summarizing and then making application to literally everything that we've been speaking about for the past many, many chapters. Everybody ready to listen to God's word? Hebrews chapter 10 says, verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If I was to ask you this morning, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" what would you say? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now come before God and worship him. Let's not let this be an exercise of the flesh this morning. Let's not miss out on an opportunity right now to concentrate on the presence of God and truly enter into worship with him. Let's worship him now as the worship team draws our attention on him.
Amen.
All right, guys. Put your hands together, guys. Come on. Sing about the blood of Jesus. Here we go.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed?
Oh, are you washed in the blood? In the
Awesome, God. Thank you for the blood.
This morning, as we turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, we're immediately confronted with that word that we're confronted with many times in the writings of the New Testament. It's that word, therefore. Immediately, we have to stop, and we haven't even started yet, and see what this word is drawing attention to. And what the writer is doing is he's trying to get our attention, because he's going to tell us two very important truths in verse 19, 20, and 21 that are going to lead to three practical applications in verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. Do you have your Bibles? Notice, therefore, brothers, since we have, look at verse 19. If you'll go down to verse 22, and since we have, those are the theological truths. Then in verse 23, he says, let us. In 24, he says, let us. And in 25, he says, let us. So the three practical application steps are based on two thoughts. These two thoughts literally sum up everything he's been teaching us about Jesus being our high priest. The first theological truth is very humbling. The writer writing to this small Jewish house church reminds them, since we have, look at this, confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. He's just been telling us that under the old covenant and now in the new covenant, the only way humanity can approach God is on the ground of the blood. But as you and I, the New Testament church, become before God, we do not come before him on the ground of the blood of animals. But we come before God on the ground of the blood of his Son. The first truth that he teaches us is now we, unlike the Old Testament worshiper, we have confidence. Confidence to enter the most holy places. This is not talking about entering a place on earth where the Shekinah glory cloud occasionally dwelt, but this is talking about you and I have confidence to enter into the very presence of God himself right now, and that is heaven itself, the royal residence of God. This word confidence, an interesting word. It's a word that you see often, but you might not know it. You see, this word confidence literally means in the Greek to speak frankly, to speak boldly. Now, this word picture that I'm going to tell you about is a very positive word picture. Don't any one of you turn this around negatively, because I don't mean it negative. But this word confidence is best pictured in my mind by several people in this church. But they're people who might surprise you. They're the ones that I call the little old ladies. Have you met them? When they speak with frankness of speech. They speak with boldness. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you ask them something, they're going to tell you what's on their mind every time. I mean, you've just got to live a long time before you can just cut to the chase and be totally honest and have that kind of boldness. Amen? Now, I'm not going to name any of these ladies for you. But what Scripture is teaching here is that you and I, with that same kind of boldness, can come into the very presence of God. Why? Because when we come to God, we come to him on the basis of the blood of his Son. For see, in the Old Testament, no one could ever, not even the high priest, could approach God with confidence. No one could speak openly and honestly in the presence of God. Reason being, they were sinners. But the blood of Jesus Christ, unlike the blood of the bulls and goats, didn't just merely cover our sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin as a worshiper once and for all. And so the problem that I had, a sin problem, has been dealt with at the cross. And at the cross, God took my sin, placed it on his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died for my sin, your sin, so that he could bring me and you into a right relationship with him, so that we, as a result of that, could enter into the very presence of God and truly give him what he truly deserves, and that is our undivided worship. Now, the way in which we come into the presence of God, look what verse 20 says. It's a new and living way. This word new, in the Greek, originally meant to be freshly killed, to be freshly slain. Wow. By a freshly slain and living way, he, Jesus, opened the curtain so that we might enter. Now, you know the picture here. In the Jewish mind, at first, would be that curtain that hung, that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. But the Bible is teaching here that under the new covenant of Jesus, we don't enter the way the high priest entered into the presence of God, because where we're entering is not a place on earth. Where we're entering is the very presence of God in heaven himself. Therefore, we come in the way that we come. See, some of you are going to say, but Ricky, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He did. And you remember what happened when he died, don't you? That curtain that was now standing in the temple in Jerusalem upon the death of Jesus, it was rent, the Bible says, according to Matthew, from top to bottom, signifying what? Man didn't rip the curtain. God did. But don't misunderstand this. The writer is using that imagery to say that the true curtain that was torn so that the door into the presence of God might be opened for us was none other than the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize it is through his sacrificial offering on the cross that he opened the door for you and I into the very presence of God? And second truth, since we have such a great high priest over the house of God. Do you remember in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer reminded us that if we hold fast to our confession of faith to the end, we are Christ's house. The Bible now paints Jesus as not the high priest over Israel, but Jesus as the high priest over the very family of God. This might seem strange, but as I was studying this week, I could not help but think about that Motel 6 commercial. It's one of my favorite commercials on TV. Tom Baudet, you know him, right? He always ends the Motel 6 commercial by reminding me that he'll what? He'll leave the light on for me. Now, what that means is if I'm out traveling at any time, I don't have to worry. Because at Motel 6, no matter how late in the night or early in the morning it is, I'm always welcome. How do I know I'm welcome? Because he's left the light on for me. Isn't it amazing how we have certain things that say, you're welcome? For example, a closed door many times says, not welcome. But an open door, on the other hand, says, come on in, you're welcome. You can come down our driveway, and if I see you coming down the driveway, I'll alert my wife so she can get the house, you know, like she wants it before you get to the door. You know how ladies are about things like that. And I'll say, Salisa, somebody's coming out down the driveway. And she'll say, who is it? And I'll say, I don't know. And I have to wait. 30 seconds later, you're in front of our garage, and now I'm saying, oh, it's just Mom and Dad. And she'll say something like this. Well, go to the door. Go to the door. And I'm saying, why? She says, Ricky, open the door for your mom and dad. Open the door. My wife has this thing about when you come to our house, you should not have to ring the doorbell. She wants me to be there if I'm at home, standing at the door, so that I can open the door to you. Why? Because when you pull into my driveway and Brother Ricky's standing at the door and I open that door, just as soon as that door starts to open, you know what? You are welcome. Now, that open door says, if you come to our house, we don't want you to stay out on the outside and talk to us through the window. No, we're going to open that door for you because we want you to come right on into our house and we want you to enjoy our presence. Do you get this picture? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ literally stands in the presence of God. And because of what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, in his body, he has opened the door in the very presence of God. And he says to all of us this morning, come on in. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a new place and I've never been there before, there's a little caution. Never been here before. You remember what it was like to approach God for the first time? You're now standing in the presence of Christ and he's inviting you into the presence of the Father. And as you get closer to him and closer to him, I can just hear him saying, he who has said, come on in, now says, go on in. Do you know what says come on in and go on in into the presence of God? The blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it speaks a better word. If you're thankful that God has opened the door for you to worship him, would you stand with me and let's sing about the blood that opened the door into the very presence of God for us. Let's talk about nothing but the blood. It's the new and living way by which you enter into the presence of God.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood.
Have confidence, and since we have a great high priest, the first practical step is this: let us draw near, look at verse 22, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you realize Jesus Christ was the very first high priest who ever took someone with him into the Holy of Holies? And that's you. And that's me. Therefore, we should draw near. We should desire to live our life consciously in the presence of Almighty God. Not on Sundays, not just daily, but moment by moment. When we come before Him in worship, whether it be praise, whether it be prayer, whether it be proclamation, we must come before Him with a heart that's true. For under the Old Testament worship, it was so easy to go through the ritual of being the high priest that you could actually go through the ritual and your heart not be in it. Do you think we've done this for so long that many of us are now doing what we're doing and our heart is not really in it? See, your heart, when you come before God, this word true literally means it must be genuine. When you come before Him with a genuine heart, you come in full assurance of faith. Meaning that you are trusting in nothing else but the sacrifice of Jesus to bring you into the very presence of God. The picture here is each one of us, and many of us have missed this. We are a believer priest. This is why the Baptist Church teaches what's called the priesthood of every believer. For see, it was God's design for the nation of Israel for them to actually be a kingdom of priests, but they failed. But yet in the New Testament, each one of us who have entered into a covenant relationship with God by His grace through faith in His Son, we actually are a kingdom of priests. And the language here is the language of the priest, that before he could approach God, of course, he had to be sprinkled with blood. He had to wash his body before he could put on the priestly robes. Do you realize that the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God cleansed your heart from its evil conscience? Now, what's this talking about? What is the evil conscience here? The evil conscience, I believe, is this, that your conscience before you met Christ always reminded you who you were. And you remember who you were before you met Christ, right? You were a sinner. You know, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's tough sometimes to sit through our services, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. I remember getting saved at 13. I can remember at age 12 being convicted of the Holy Spirit that I was separated from God and that if I died, I'd spend eternity in hell and that I was not living my life for the glory of God, but I was living my life for myself. I was 12 years old. And I want to tell you something. It became terrible to have to go to church because I'd sit through sermon after sermon, through Sunday school lesson after Sunday school lesson, and you know what my conscience would remind me? I am a sinner. Over and over and over and over again. And let me tell you what that made me want to do. I didn't want to go to church. Why? Because I knew God was holy. And I was sinful. And sinful humanity does not want to come into the presence of a God who is holy. Amen? But you know, the moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus, the Bible tells me that the person that I was died. The person that I was a sinner, separated from God because of sin. But because Jesus dealt with my sin at the cross, the moment I put my faith and trust in Christ, Ricky the sinner died, and I became Ricky the child of God. I became Ricky the saint. Amen? And the person that I am now is forgiven of sin. I'm freed from sin. And now my conscience reminds me of who I am. You know who I am? I am a child of His. I've not only been forgiven of my sin, I've been freed from sin. I do not live a life of condemnation. Therefore, because of Jesus Christ, I can come before God as a priest and offer Him worship that He truly desires. And that's worship that comes from a genuine heart. Do you ever struggle to worship Him? Could we remind ourselves this morning that the heart of worship is a matter of the heart? Let's stand before Him once again and in song, truly may worship be a matter of our heart. And you sense His gaze into your heart right now, because He's looking into it, and He'll know what you're giving Him right now. He'll know.
And I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm so much deeper within, through the
verse 23, be seated, gives us the second application. Since we know we have confidence, and we know we have a great high priest over the house of God, not only will we draw near in faith, but the writer says, let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering. Why? Because we know God is faithful. Do you know that when you come to that place to truly depend on God being a God who keeps his promises, a God who has said that because of your faith in Jesus, you have entered salvation rest, that creates in you hope that one day, even though the children of Israel did not enter in because of unbelief, the land of rest, you and I will one day enter into the full presence of God. And in a glorified body like that of Jesus, we will live with him forever. Now, the English word hope just doesn't cut it here. For see, when we use the word hope, what that usually means is if everything works according to plan, if everything goes right, yeah, I'm going to go to town today. Or I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Or I'm going. But in the Greek, the word actually means confident expectation. See, I have made a confession. And that confession is that God will come through with what he's promised. So therefore, every time I stand on the bank of Kadesh Barnea and have a decision to make, I'll not look at God's plan for me and say there's giants in the land and I am but a grasshopper. No, because I know my God is faithful. I will look at that giant and I will believe with all of my heart that God has placed that giant in my life. Why? Because what does grasshoppers need to survive? They need bread. And the giants in your life, you must believe, have been strategically placed there by God to strengthen you and to feed you so that you can become that mature saint God has called you to be. Hold fast unto your confession of hope. Don't waver because God doesn't. Now, do you remember a guy named Paul? Jimmy, am I right? Didn't he write to the church at Corinth and say in the 13th chapter, three things abide: faith, hope, and what? Love. Faith, hope, and love. Look at verse 24. The first let us is let us draw near with a genuine heart in full assurance of what? Faith. The second let us says let us hold fast to our confession of what? Hope. Now look at verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have a man in our church named Louis. I will not identify him by his last name. Many, many times I'll come to church and I'll see Louis standing with a group of men and Louis's got this look on his face, and when I walk up, I'll always say to Louis, Louis, what are you stirring up now? Now, you know how I'm using that phrase, right? If you haven't met Louis, you need to get to know Louis. You know, many times when we use that phrase, we're using it in the sense that says, hey, Louis, are you stirring up trouble? Louis, what are you getting yourself into? Louis, what are you getting me into? Louis, what are you? And we usually use that in a negative context. And yet the writer of Hebrews says that because we have confidence to enter into the very presence of God, because the door has been opened and we've been invited to come into His presence, we should be carefully analyzing, setting our mind on, studying, being critical of, listen to this, the fact that we're supposed to be stirring up one another to love and good works. Wow. Now I want you to listen real close, because I want to put this in a context that I've never seen it in till this week. I can't tell you how many times I've quoted this verse totally out of context. Maybe not totally out of context, but not fully understanding what it meant. Not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. King James. But encouraging one another as you see the day approaching. How many times have you heard this verse quoted to talk about church attendance? See a show of hands. I believe that is in the verse, but I don't think that's the full meaning. If you study this in context, this third application step is not about your church attendance. It's about your church, your body participation. Do you see this? Let us consider to stir up one another in love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as some is, but encouraging one another. In other words, here was a church that many people, yes, were neglecting church attendance, but what the writer was saying was, what you're neglecting is not just church attendance. What you're neglecting is church participation. We have been placed in the body to stir up one another. Stir up one another to what? Love and good works. You cannot stir up a brother or a sister to love and good works if you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing when the body meets. Amen? And boy, are we going to have to change how we do 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning. 99.9% of us. When we come as the body into the presence of God corporately, we're here not to sit down and wait for something to start. We're here meeting together on the first day of a brand new week, and some of us got beat up and banged up all week long, and some of us limped in here with a sprained ankle or a broken leg or a hurt back. Or a mind that's totally disoriented and totally confused, and we're getting ready to make a dumb choice in our life. And we need you. We need you. See, verse 22 is saying, focus on God and come into His very presence. Verse 23 is saying, focus on yourself and hold fast your hope. But when it comes to the assembling as the body, don't you neglect your rightful responsibility. Am I not right? Is this not the context? In the context you're in his ears, you're not here to get what you get. You're here to give what you can give. To who? To somebody who's struggling. To somebody who needs you to break into their life with a word, a smile, a handshake, and stir them to love. Stir them to this next week get back in works that are good. Now, this doesn't mean that the works they were doing was sinful, but what it means is this. Many in the body neglect the good things. And you can do the good things for so long that you forget about the best things. And some of us need a stirring this morning. See, some of you are here this morning in attendance. But are you here to participate? Some of you will leave this morning and you'll never think about Hardin Baptist Church the rest of the week. You'll never wonder who needs prayed for. You'll never worry about who needs to hear about Christ. You'll never worry because you get so caught up in your little world. Amen? And you're neglecting. Matter of fact, you're not being an encouragement at all. The writer doesn't say it, but if I can say it, you're a discouragement. Do you know why? Because there's a day approaching. Now, I know a lot of writers take this passage and make it refer to the day of judgment, but I don't believe this is talking about the day of judgment when we're all going to stand before God. I believe this is talking about because the writer knew, because God had given him a glimpse into that there was a terrible day of persecution coming for the church. The temple was getting ready to be destroyed, and it was getting ready to rock the Jewish world. And here was a group of people who were getting going back into Judaism, and that was going to be done away with when Rome marched into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And so what did this little church need to do? Because of that day, it was approaching fast. Man, they needed to be stirring up each other. Did you know that we do not know what crisis is awaiting someone in this church? We may be living in a country where we'll never face it as a body together. But how many of our people have a day approaching that's going to rock their world? And we let them face it alone. Because we have neglected to participate in the body as we should. The majority of us will never come back on a Sunday night. We'll never come back on a Wednesday night because we just don't need it. It's not about us. What about that brother who does need it? We're part of each other. We got to stir each other up. This image, to me, is best captured in the old wood stoves our grandparents had that heated their houses. Boy, some of us really miss out because all we do is push a button on the wall and it heats it to the exact temperature we want. But do you remember your granddad? Do you remember that stove they had in the living room that literally gave heat to every house in the room, in the house? Do you remember that room where the fire was hotter than any other room in the house? 10 degrees more. I remember Granddaddy Bogard, he'd start the fire in early October, wouldn't let it go out till end of June. He never had a thermometer in the house, but I promise you the living room never dropped below 85, because if it ever dropped below 85, he'd open up the door on that little stove and he'd look in there. And I remember being a little kid in the summer when school was out, trying to look over Granddaddy's shoulder. I don't know if I thought when I got older I'd have to do what Granddaddy did when I became a granddaddy, not knowing that I'd have central heat and air and all I'd have to do is push a button. So I tried to learn the art, and I'd watch Granddaddy look in there, and never failed after he looked in there. He'd reach for that poker, and he'd take that poker, and just like a granddaddy can do, you know what he would do, don't you? See, you know what happens in the burning process? The heat from a fire comes before two or three pieces of logs touch each other. Am I not right? And where they're touching each other, that creates heat. But after a while, that heat is so hot that part of that log burns away, and the next thing you know, there will not be the touching anymore. And you'll see a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece there. And what my granddaddy would do is he'd take his poker and he'd get in the fire and he'd bring all the little pieces back together again. Does that remind any of you of you? I can remember when some of you burned hot for Jesus. But you had a friend who burned hot too, didn't you? You had a friend who you rubbed elbows with, and you and them were together in ministry, and you were on fire for Jesus. And look at you 10 years later. They're somewhere over there, and you're somewhere over here, and you're cold. Oh, you haven't missed a service since we've been in the new building. But you're as cold can be to the church of God. You're as cold as you can be to the needs of the members of this church. You don't have a clue. You ever picked up a piece of wood and you can tell it used to be on fire? But there's a whole lot of it still left. Can I ask you something? Do you honestly want to stand before God and Him pick up your life and show you the marks where you used to burn? I don't. When I stand before God, I want Him to have to pull out the ash pan. Amen. Because I want to live a life that was totally consumed for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what I need. I need some of you to stir me to love and to stir me to good works. And we need to stir each other to good works. And we need to stir each other to love because we're in this together. And it's not about how many attend Hardin Baptist Church on Sunday morning. The most important question is how many of us are participating as the body at Hardin? Wow. We need this every Sunday, but not from the pastor to the people, from the people to the people. Who will you stir to love? Will it be your wife? Will it be your children? Because some of you wives know your husband's got a cold heart. Some of you husbands know your wife's got a cold heart. Some of you parents sit here and you know your children have lost their desire to serve the Lord. Some of you can remember your Sunday school teacher that doesn't even teach you anymore because he's got a cold heart. Some of you know of people that are enrolled to this church that don't even attend church anywhere anymore because they got a cold heart. Well, we've been told an important truth. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we live in the presence of God. And we have a high priest who opens the door for us and ushers us into His presence. Therefore, I have a responsibility, Godward, I have a responsibility, Selfward, and I have a responsibility, Youward. And you do too. We're to be shouting to the Lord as a body. Amen? Let's stand and sing as we really, really mean it. Taking very seriously our place of participation in the body of Christ. And let's let the world know. Let's let the community know that we are the true body of Christ. And let's shout it. Shout to the Lord.
Let's sing, guys. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You.
that verse again, guys.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of a refuge, strength. Let every breath and all that I am
being who he is. Would you do that for us? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, Father. Awesome. Awesome, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Jesus. Wow, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Be seated just for a moment. Brother Jerry Newsom is going to come, and he's going to remind us of an important meeting tomorrow night. The ushers are going to come now, and we're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Do we have any guests here this morning? Anytime here for the first time to Hardin Baptist Church? Hey, man, we got some guys that are going to put a guest card into y'all's hands right here, Brother William. Anybody else? Would you just hold your hand up right over here, Brother Terry? There you go. We normally do this at the first of the service, but we're a little out of kelter this morning. Any guests? Would you just lift your hand up? All right. Ushers are going to go get the offering plates, and we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offering. Brother Jerry's going to remind us of a very important meeting tomorrow night here at our church. Brother Jerry.
Guys, I want to invite you tomorrow night to the men's ministry. Last month, we had over 100 men came.
Amen.
I heard Brother Ricky's message on a very, very important subject of the boundaries of our lives, how to mark them, remark our boundaries. A lot of us has got out of boundaries. Each one of us guilty of getting out of boundaries. So I encourage you tomorrow night to come to this men's ministry. We'll be talking about a subject that is out of boundary.
Amen.
It's a subject that's actually tearing our country apart today.
That's
and our
right.
families is sex and pornography.
Yes.
Coming don't mean that you've got this problem, but coming means you want to get educated. We got one
Amen.
Of the best speakers in the area. They tell me that Dr. Roach is from Mid-Continent College. So I encourage each man to be there at 6 o'clock for the meal and 6:45 for praise and worship.
Amen. And guys, did you get that? Tomorrow night, Dr. Keith Roach from Mid-Continent. We're going to meet at the downtown location at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a wonderful meal prepared by the men of the church. You come. If your work schedule doesn't allow you to be there for the meal, the service starts at 6:45. I'll tell you what we need to do. When the men chose this topic, one of the fears they had was men won't come. It's kind of like when you have a marriage retreat. Couples don't come because no one wants to admit they've got a problem. You know, if you go to a marriage retreat, that means you got a bad marriage, so no one goes. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to come tomorrow night in support of the body. Because some of us struggle with this and no one knows. Some of us don't have a problem with this, but we could be an encouragement to someone who is struggling. Some of you guys have already got victory over this in your life, but you've never told anybody. You could be an encouragement to some guys that are really struggling. We're going to have a testimony and a message. We need every man of Hardin Baptist Church to be here tomorrow night so that we can have that small sanctuary, 400 men, full, and no one guessing who's got a problem, no one guessing who needs to be educated, but all of us being there as men saying, I'm going to help support a brother if he's got a problem. We expect for you to participate tomorrow night. Be there at 6:45, amen. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we start our equipping centers. You have a great morning. Please don't run over the 9:15 people, okay? They're trying to get in. Have a great, great fall break for you families that are going to be traveling. You be careful. Thanks for being here this morning. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, with our equipping centers. God bless you.